Bhoja Makaranda Liham Shatam Kim Anyair Asad Alapair Ayushoya Dasad Vyaya. The devotees of the Lord are accustomed to licking up the honey available from the lotus feet of the Lord. What is the use of topics which simply waste one's valuable life? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Krishna and His devotees are both on the transcendental plane. Therefore, the topics of Lord Krishna and His pure devotees are equally good. The battle of Kurukshetra is full of politics and diplomacy. But because the topics are related with Lord Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita is therefore adored all over the world. There is no need to eradicate politics, economics, sociology, etc., which are mundane to the mundaners. To a pure devotee who is actually related with the Lord, such mundane things are transcendental if dovetailed with the Lord or with His pure devotees. We have heard and talked about the activities of the Pandavas, and now we are dealing with the topics of Maharaj Parikshit. But because all these topics are related to Lord Sri Krishna, they are all transcendental, and pure devotees have great interest in hearing them. We have already discussed this matter in connection with the prayers of Bhishma Dev. Our duration of life is not very long, and there is no certainty of when we shall be ordered to leave everything for the next stage. Thus, it is our duty to see that not a moment of our life is wasted in topics which are not related with Lord Krishna. Any topic, however pleasant, is not worth hearing if it is devoid of its relation to Krishna. Licking up the honey available from the lotus feet of the Lord, what is the use of topics which simply waste one's valuable life? From these blessed pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, a description of what is the true purpose of this human form of life and how to best utilize every moment of our life. Truth is to understand that everything is coming from Krishna, everything is in Krishna, and everything is the property of Krishna. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishyate. Krishna is the absolute truth. And illusion means to forget anything's relationship with Krishna. And knowledge means to understand everything's relationship with Krishna. What is everything's relationship with Krishna? Everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suradam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim ichchati. This body that we call our own is actually Krishna's property, and it has been created only for the service and the pleasure of Krishna. This mind that we have is Krishna's property. It is created, maintained, and ultimately Krishna is the destroyer of all the material elements. But if we utilize this body and this mind and whatever resources we have by the grace of the Almighty, then we are living in harmony with our true nature. We are living in truth, in light. But when we conceive anything, especially our own selves, as separate from Krishna, to be used for a separate purpose than the service of Krishna, then every thought and every action that we perform only incriminates us in deeper bondage within the laws of karma. The laws of karma are the stringent policies in which this material creation is conducted under. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. All the physical and mental pleasures and all the physical and mental pains that we endure during our life, we should understand it is no one else's fault but our own. We can blame so many people, we can blame so many circumstances, but these people and circumstances are only the friendly deliverers of what we have ordered, either in previous births or earlier in this life. Just like if you order something and you pay money for something and then it comes and you do not like it, whose fault is it? It is your fault. With every act, with every word in our life, we are placing an order. And then, through the laws of karma, through various people and circumstances, deliver that order that we make. And then we say, God, why are you doing this to me? But the question is, why are we doing this to ourselves? For a devotee of the Lord who understands the truth, pleasure and pain of this world are both undesirable. What everyone is striving to achieve, material and mental pleasure, for a devotee, it is very undesirable. Matra svarashastu kondeya sitoshna shukadukata agama payanonityas tamstatikshasvabharata. That the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress in all of the dualities of material life, they are born of mental conceptions. They are temporary. They have no endurance. And therefore, a devotee must learn to tolerate pleasure and tolerate pain, tolerate honor and dishonor. And the more advanced you become in spiritual life, you find it's actually more difficult to tolerate being honored than it is to tolerate being dishonored. Because when you are dishonored, you only have to tolerate the pain. You think, well, yes, actually, I'm worse than he's saying. Actually, he's glorifying me by saying I'm only this much. Actually, I'm so much worse. But when someone honors you, then the tendency is that your false ego starts saying, yes, this is correct. In fact, much more will be revealed to him. My glories are limitless. If Ananta Shesha with his 1,000 hoods had 1,000 mouths on each hood and chanted my glories for 1,000 creations, still he would have difficulty finding the end to the glories. This is the way the false ego is. The more you get, the more you want. You're never satiated. So we must learn to tolerate the dualities, both the positive side and the negative side. And how to do that? By understanding the truth. That this ahankar, this false ego, is a product of maya or illusion. and all the pleasures and pains that we are trying to either enjoy or avoid in this world are simply products of this illusion or maya. They culminate in death. And worse than death, millions and trillions of times worse than death, is they culminate in forgetting our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because death is not really a bad thing. Your body goes through its transformations. It's born, it grows, it has some duration, it produces some offspring, it dwindles, and it dies, just like the flower, just like the tree. All material bodies go through these six transformations. So death is natural. But the soul, there is no death. Najayate mriyate va kadachin dayan purva bhavata vana bhuya ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death. It is not slain when the body and mind. The soul is eternal. The soul is part of God. The soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And to forget your blissful nature and your relationship with the all-attractive, all-blissful personality of Godhead, Krishna, that is worse than death. For a devotee, death is not bad, but forgetfulness of Krishna is spiritual death. And therefore, Krishna consciousness, which is the essence of the teachings of all the great scriptures of the world, is to teach us how to see everything's relationship with Krishna, how to remember Krishna in all situations of life. And this is real wealth. This is what can bring us real happiness. This is what can liberate us from all the pleasures and pains of this world. And here it is described that devotees, they are accustomed to licking up the honey available from the lotus feet of the Lord. For a devotee, there is no use in any topic which simply wastes our valuable life. There's a beautiful story in the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With your kind permission, I will try to relate something. Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Yuga avatar, who appears in this age of Kali Yuga in his full opulences. And he comes along with his special beloved devotees onto this world. For what purpose? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To protect the devotees. Actually, to give ecstatic bliss to the devotees. To annihilate the miscreants in this form of Lord Chaitanya, he annihilates the ignorance within our heart, which is the real miscreant, the real demon, and to reestablish the principles of religion. In this age of Kali Yuga, through the propagation of the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna, all of these purposes of the Lord are perfectly served. The holy name of the Lord is none different than the Lord, as we have so joyfully experienced a few minutes back during the Sankirtan of the holy name. How devotees are so united in loving feelings, in such a spiritual mood of pleasure. Simply to be trying to control our senses, performing tapasya, sitting with our back to rest in meditation, may help us to control the mind. But this process of chanting and dancing actually releases the original joyful, ecstatic propensities of the soul. And like no other process, cleanses our heart and our minds of anything that interferes with our pure loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And during this kirtan of the holy name, everyone is united on this spiritual platform. Just like If different people are sitting in different caves and different ashrams and different places, there's not much unity of mankind by a few people like that. They may get purified themselves, and we give them all respect for that. But Lord Chaitanya's movement is to bring everyone together to glorify God and make society Vaikuntha, spiritual world. And we see today, during the kirtan, there is no consideration who's young and who's old, who's of this caste or that caste, who's of this educational background, who's illiterate and who's very well educated, doctor, PhD. There's no consideration whether one is European, American, Indian, or from any other place. There's no consideration of whether one is rich or poor. We all come together on the equal platform that we are all the eternal soul, beyond all these temporary designations. We come together as the eternal servants of Krishna, harmonizing our hearts and our voices to chant his holy names. So this is the magnanimous mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has brought this Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan to the world and demonstrated it through his own life, his teachings, and the life and teachings of his devotees. One such devotee was Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Advaita Acharya was also a great incarnation of the Lord. He was living in a place called Shantipur. And he was the best of all the Brahmins or priests. He was very, very learned. He was very pure. And everyone honored him because of his great spiritual depths of love for God. So one day, a very auspicious pastime took place. A very advanced sadhu, sannyasi, came to the house of Advaita Acharya to beg alms. You see, in the Vedic civilization, the householders, it is their sacred duty to God and to society to help others. Whatever we have, we want to utilize that not only for ourselves, but for people who are in need, by giving in charity. And the greatest need in society is for spiritual knowledge, and therefore the greatest charity is to support those persons who are surrendering and sacrificing their whole lives to disseminate spiritual knowledge. And also, the nature of an advanced personality is that they become very humble. It is said that a tree that has no fruits stands very erect and says, look at how great I am. Look at how tall I am, taller than all other trees. But a tree that has many fruits bows down very low. And the more fruits, the lower it bows. So those who actually have the fruits of good qualities and spiritual realizations, they naturally bow their heads down in great humility before the Lord and all living beings. And those who do not have such spiritual realization, they are always trying to compete. Who is better? I am better. Of course I am better. It is Maya to think anyone else can be better than me. You have been captivated by the illusory energy. So Advaita Acharya, although he was respected, honored, and worshipped by all, it was his natural inclination to respect, honor, and worship all those great devotees of the Lord. So when this sannyasi came, Advaita Acharya bowed down with great humility, out of respect for the renounced order, to show the example of a perfect grihastha. Then he invited this sannyasi into his home, and he said, please, please, accept alms from me. He said, yes, The alms I request of you is that you answer my question. And Advaita Acharya replied that please you sit nicely and have prasad, wonderful Krishna prasad, and then I will answer whatever question you have. The sannyasi replied, first answer my question, then I will take prasad. So as the humble servant, Advaita Acharya said, what is your question? The sannyasi asked a very deep question. What is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relationship with Keshav Bharati Maharaj? So Sri Advaita Acharya began to think that this question has two answers. One is a spiritual answer and one is a material answer. And he was thinking, just as Krishna doesn't have a father and he doesn't have a mother, but he is glorified throughout the universe as Devaki Nandan, which means the son of Devaki. So I think I will answer this question first material way, then later on the spiritual way. So with this in mind, Advaita Acharya replied. He said, Keshav Bharati Maharaj is Lord Chaitanya's guru. But you already know that, so why did you ask me? At that very moment, Advaita Acharya's little son, whose name was Achyutananda, came running into the room. Achyutananda was 5 years old. And when he came running into the room, he was clothed only in the four directions. And because he was playing, all of his limbs were covered with dust. And he was so beautiful. It is explained he was more beautiful than Kartikeya, the son of Shiva. Every limb was just ornamented with such sweet, loving features. And he was so pure and so devoted to the Lord, even at the age of 5. And he ran in the room and he started laughing and laughing and laughing. And then he became very angry. And his father, who was the greatest scholar, the most respected Brahman, and the Acharya of all Acharyas, by whose power the Supreme Personality of God had descended to this world. The little child, 5-year-old Achyutananda, began to chastise his father. He said, what have you said? What did you say? Do you really mean that? You have said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a guru? These words have come from your tongue? I think that you must be under the influence of Maya. I believe that the age of Kali Yuga has really come. Lord Chaitanya's Maya's potency is bewildering you. If you were not bewildered, how could you possibly say that the guru of all gurus, Lord Chaitanya, has a guru? It is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his partial expansion of Mahavishnu, who is laying in the causal ocean, and from whom millions and billions, trillions, innumerable universes are emanating from his body. It is that Lord Chaitanya who incarnates within every universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And it is from Lord Chaitanya's navel that a lotus flower sprouts. And Lord Brahma is playfully born of that lotus flower. And Lord Brahma, being bewildered, not knowing what to do and what not to do, he begins to perform tapasya and he surrenders in devotion unto Lord Chaitanya in his manifestation of Vishnu. And then it is the Lord
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who imparts knowledge to Brahma, teaches him everything about the spiritual and material sciences. And meditating on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya with his order on his head, Lord Brahma then creates the universes and all species of life within the universe. And then he imparts that knowledge that the original guru, Lord Chaitanya, gave to him, to Sanaka and Narada and so many others. And then they have spread transcendental knowledge of God to the whole world through parampara. And you are saying that Lord Chaitanya has a guru? You are supposed to be my father. You are supposed to be my shiksha guru. How is it that you are teaching me these false things? When Advaitacharya heard this, these words of glorification of the Lord from his little five-year-old son, he became ecstatic in love. He picked up little Achyutananda. What is your age? Stand up. He's 9. Achyutananda was about half his age and his size. But Advaitacharya began to embrace his son and bathing him with tears of love. He was in ecstasy. And he said to Achyutananda, he said, "You are my father. I am your disciple. Because you are speaking the ultimate truth to me." He said, "I promise you I will never speak like this ever again." And then he began to just glorify his son. And little Achyutananda became very embarrassed, and he made his head go down. And Advaitacharya began to just extol the glories of his son. And the sannyasi, upon seeing this, he just paid his dandavat obeisances to Achyutananda, this great, great sannyasi, to this five-year-old boy. And he got up and he said that, "Yes, like father, like son. This son has all the devotional qualities of the father, Advaitacharya." And then glorifying this father and son, he went on his way. And meanwhile, Advaita just began to just weep and weep, and he started to extol that, "Now I know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent one of his own personal associates in the form of my son to live in my house." And he began, upon hearing the words of Achyutananda, glorifying the supreme position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the father began to dance, clap his hands and dance, ecstatically singing the holy names. Just at that moment, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the door of Sri Advaita's house in Shantipur, along with many of his associates. They were just returning from their attempted journey to Vrindavan, where they came back after Ramakeli and Kanayanatha Sala. And when Advaitacharya saw Lord Chaitanya at his door in ecstatic love, he offered his dandavat pranams, and they embraced, began to cry in love for one another. And Advaitacharya gave Lord Chaitanya a sitting place. And just then, little Achyutananda, naked and covered with dust, he came and bowed down. Dandavat! He laid flat at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, taking the dust on his head. Actually, when Advaitacharya was glorifying Achyutananda, he was also taking the dust from his feet and putting it on his head. In fact, he started taking the dust from every limb of his body and putting it on his head. He was so happy to have such a son. But here the son was at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya saw this tiny little boy laying at his feet, crying in love, Lord Chaitanya picked up the child and pressed him against his own chest and began to embrace him. And the child was crying in ecstatic love, and Lord Chaitanya himself was weeping and bathing him with his own transcendental tears. And it is said that Lord Chaitanya was so much overwhelmed with joy to have this wonderful little devotee that he couldn't let go of him. He would not release him. And Achyutananda wanted to reside forever on the chest of Lord Chaitanya. In this way, Achyutananda was very dear to the Lord. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, there was no one so dear to the Lord as this Achyutananda. He was also so dear and pleasing to the life of Nityananda Prabhu Swarup Damodar. Later he became the disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, the foremost disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. And every year during Rath Yatra, he would lead the dancing from the Sankirtan party of the devotees of Shantipur. And when he would dance, it was very beautiful. Words cannot express. Lord Chaitanya's own divine beauty was manifested when Achyutananda Prabhu would dance in the kirtan of the holy names. This is a beautiful example of how a devotee, even a very innocent, simple devotee, only wants to hear the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He or she does not want to waste their valuable time with any other topics than hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And it is explained here by Srila Prabhupada that Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, where the battle of Kurukshetra was taking place, he said it is full of politics and diplomacy. Now, why in the world would a devotee of the Lord who has tasted the ecstatic nectar of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord want to in any way indulge in hearing about politics and diplomacy? What to speak of economics and sociology? We have students. There are probably 100, perhaps, students in this room at this very moment. Many college students studying engineering, commerce, medicine, dentistry, engineering, architecture, so many things. Some are in lower grades of school, basic education. And so often, almost every day, they come and say, we want to leave school. What is the use? They are not teaching us topics about Krishna. They are teaching us about all the diseases in the human body. One time, one of our medical students showed me their textbook. I have no words to express what I saw. The diagrams and the illustrations. I can't imagine how anyone would want to pay money to look at those illustrations. Just all these diseases and terrible sufferings. So this is often the question. Why should we waste our valuable human life studying these topics? Politics, sociology, economics, engineering, diseases. I saw a dental book and all these. You have to be, I don't know. I'm a sannyasi, I don't know about these things, but it seems like you really have to be detached to study these things. I was thinking, I'm not so detached, you know. You have to be more detached to be a student than a Swami to look at these pictures. Either that or you just get so used to the ugliness of material nature that it just becomes your ordinary to see these things. Well, whatever reason, students come, say, should I leave college? Should I leave school? Should I leave home? So we explain that all of these various subjects are like so many zeros. Just a few days ago in Pune, we were giving a lecture at the Maharashtrian Institute of Technology, MIT of India. And it's a very nice school, actually. They have a lot of very spiritual principles that they live by. Very pious place. They do not allow meat, fish, or eggs. They do not allow any intoxications. They're trying to give a sense of character and morality to the students. So we were explaining that all this education that is in all the colleges, universities, elementary schools, high schools are like so many zeros. Zero. What is it worth? What is the value of zero? Nothing. Void. That's all. That's how I began the lecture. And the dean of students, who welcomed me in front of all students as an honored guest, he was wondering whether he should have done that. And I paused, and I was kind of looking around, and the students were, oh my God. And the faculty members, the principal, the dean, they were, oh my God. And I kind of went on saying, all that you are learning and all of your education, you're spending so much of your precious time, and what is its value? Zero. Nothing. In fact, when you die, all your PhDs will be nothing but one big zero. And death is coming. And in your life, from the point of view of your eternal soul, it is all zero. But then there was a little bit of hope awakening in their hearts. But if you put one in front of the zeros, then every zero increases the value of your life. 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000,000,000,000, so many. So what is that one? That one is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme one from whom everything emanates. Janmadyashayataha. If we understand Krishna first in our life, and then we understand every subject that we are studying or dealing with in relation to Krishna, that only increases the spiritual value of our life and increases the capacity in which we can serve Krishna. If you do business for Krishna, your business has great spiritual value. It is bhakti. If you are a doctor, if you are a mother, if you are a father, whatever you learn, if you understand what my relationship with Krishna is as his eternal servant, and how to utilize all of these forms of educations or other facilities in my constitutional position of service of Krishna, then the more you learn, the more you have, only increases the way you can serve Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Of course, if by nature you don't have much at all, that's not an impediment. Whatever you do have, just like little Saraswati, Malati's daughter, she was only about 4 years old. And everyone she met, she would just run up to. Here in Bombay, at Cross Maidan, we have seen this with our own eyes. Every person she would just run up to, and she would grab them by hand. And these people would look down, and they'd see this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned baby, child. And they'd smile, and she'd smile, and she'd say, "Guess what?" And they'd say, "What?" She'd say, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Then she would run away. And everyone would be thinking, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Even the atheists could not argue with her. Even those great PhD scientists who write so many books and theses of how there is no God, after meeting Saraswati, they had to surrender and say, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality. He must be, otherwise this child would not say. So Prabhupada said, that's all she knows, so she's preaching. That's all that's required. Whether you are Hanuman lifting big mountains, or whether you are a spider kicking a grain of sand, if you, whatever Krishna has given you, whatever you have capacity, if you use it in relationship to Him, understanding your constitutional position as eternal servant of Krishna, your life is perfect. That is required. So therefore, for all of you students, my humble request is become first-class students for Krishna, not for any other reason. Study, study well, but simultaneously cultivate chanting the holy names. Cultivate associating with sadhus, devotees of the Lord. Try to make a forum or association of devotees amongst the students within the college where you can come together, read Srimad Bhagavatam, have nice prasad, come to the temple of Radha Gopinath, chant and dance to the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. Then with a pure, compassionate, and pious heart, full of devotion, perform your duties in this world as Krishna's servant. As Arjuna performed his duty as Krishna's servant. Murari Gupta was a doctor, and he was an Ayurvedic doctor, and he would deal with mucus, bile, and air. Haribo. And Lord Chaitanya said, anyone who just thinks he's dealing with mucus, bile, and air is condemned. Because he's doing it for Krishna. He's always remembering Krishna. He sees mucus, bile, and air's relationship to Krishna. He sees every living entity's relationship with Krishna. He sees everything in creation's relationship with Krishna. And therefore, he is always in that remembrance serving Krishna. And that remembrance naturally comes when we come to wonderful gatherings like we have come and assembled today at Radha Gopinath's temple to install knowledge within our hearts through hearing the glories of the Lord, through associating with devotees of the Lord, through taking nice Krishna's prasadam, and through dancing joyfully in celebration of Krishna's appearance in His holy name. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. The most wonderful part of our festival is about to begin. I think the value of my talks is it bores people enough that when this time comes, they're very much enthusiastic to take shelter of the holy name. Anyways, Prabhupada is so transcendentally amazing that he could use anyone's qualifications or disqualifications to make people dance and chant. That is his greatness. We are just in whatever embarrassing way he wants to use us, we are grateful.